Hello and welcome to St Andrew's Podcast. I'm Reverend Sonia and we'll be continuing to look at some of the characters from Genesis in the Old Testament of the Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be with us as we listen to your word and explore the lessons that we can learn from your people. Grow us in faith and discipleship so that we too can follow your call on our lives and grow in love and the joy of life in your kingdom. Amen. I'm going to read from Genesis 24, a slightly abridged version of chapter 24, starting around verse 1, jumping to verse 10, and then jumping to verse 55. So if you've got your Bible open, you may need to scan around the text if you're trying to follow. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said to his servant, "Go to my country and to my kindred and get a wife for my son Isaac." Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all kinds of choice gifts from his master. And he set out and went to Aram-naharaim, to the city of Nahor. "Let the girl to whom I shall say, 'Please offer your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." Before he had finished speaking in prayer, there was Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. The girl was very fair to look upon, a virgin whom no man had known. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me sip a little water from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw for your camels also, until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. In the fullness of the time, the servant asked her family if she could become Isaac's wife. Her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that she may go." But he said to them, "Do not delay me. Since the Lord has made my journey successful, let me go, that I may go to my master." They said, "We will call the girl and ask her." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will." So they sent away their sister Rebekah and her nurse along with Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. He took Rebekah and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I'm going to read a series of reflections written and read from Rebekah's point of view in this story. "Why should something like this happen to me? Seriously, it's every girl's dream. A man shows up laden with riches, jewellery, camels, servants from a distant land on behalf of a man so wealthy he didn't even have to come himself. The servant says his master is blessed, that God has given him flocks of sheep and goats, cattle, silver, gold, male and female slaves, camels, donkeys. All I did was get him water. The servant spoke of angels and blessings and exotic far-off lands. It's so exciting. Mum and my brother Laban wanted me to wait. They could see God was in this, but didn't want to say goodbye. that asked me to wait a week, to stay, to think, to say our goodbyes more fully. But then they said it was up to me. The servant didn't want to wait or delay, and neither did I. What girl could resist all those gifts, the promise of marriage to a blessed man with so much wealth? Oh, no hesitation. Yes, let's go. Mum and Laban even blessed me as I left. A dream come true. Why should something like this happen to me? I waited a long time, 20 years for this. We prayed I'd get pregnant, and now that I am, well, it doesn't feel like I thought it would. My body is as strange as this foreign land. My skin is so stretched I can hardly move. I think I'm as swollen as it's possible to be swollen without bursting. And then that moves and bulges and wriggles, and I really do think I'll burst. Walking feels like torture. My bones grind each other down. Even to take a few steps causes me to double over like the ancient ones. How can it be that giving life feels so much like visiting death? I feel so far from home. I wish my mum was here. Did she feel like this when she carried me? Other women seem to flourish through pregnancy, glowing faces, radiant smiles, anticipation of all the joys. I just feel afraid. If this is how I feel carrying my child, will I even survive the birth? I prayed to God. I asked him, why should something like this happen to me? But I don't understand his answer. Why should something like this happen to me? Of course it was twins. Makes sense of all the ways in which my body felt like it was going to pieces. Everybody said, how lovely. They'll be the best of friends. How nice they've got each other to play with. I just smile and nod. How little do they know? All they do is fight. Really, that's it. That's all they do. Fight over space, fight over me, fight over their father's favour. One wants something, the other one wants it too. All they do is fight. Is it me? Am I a bad mum? I don't see anyone else's children fighting. Laban and I were never like this. Have I let everybody down? I'm so ashamed. Even if I tell them to come into the tent, everyone can still hear them shouting, or worse, crashing as they knock things and each other over. I can hardly look at the rest of the camp in their eyes. I only have one thing to do, mother these boys, and I can't keep them safe from each other, let alone everything else. I feel like I've failed. I thought pregnancy was tiring. My body felt like a stranger, but this is no different. I am mentally and physically exhausted. And if I get a moment of peace and quiet to rest, it just makes me suspicious what it is they're doing because I can't hear them. It doesn't help matters that Isaac is always taking Esau's side. Just because he's older, stronger and, well, your typical alpha male doesn't mean he's always in the right. Jacob gets such a hard time of it physically that he's starting to find coping strategies that worry me. Tricks and lies to divert his brother and get his own way. It is not what I thought family life would be. Doesn't match up to the dreams of wealth and exotic lands when Abraham's servant came looking for me. Maybe should have thought longer about marrying a rich foreigner. I'm so far from home. All the people I can trust or ask for advice are way over the horizon. Why should something like this happen to me? Their bodies have grown. And so's the distance between them. I hoped that age would bring them closer. But if anything, it's driven them apart. Jacob's twisted thinking has fractured our family completely. Took devious to another level. Bribing Esau with food until he gave him the birthright. And Esau, so entitled, it takes his inheritance and everything it means so much for granted. He gave it up for a bowl of stew, without a moment's thought. His dad won't be able to sort it out for him so easily this time. But there is a glimmer of beautiful hope in the middle of all this. Esau's getting married. I'll have girls in the house to share life with. And who knows, maybe grandchildren that won't fight. Why should something like this happen to me? Judith and Basemath, my daughters-in-law, are no better than my sons. Who would have thought it possible? These women are making my life even harder, utterly impossible. Nobody treats me with any respect anymore. I was brought to this land with great honour, and it's all lost. Promises of a dream come true. Tell you, it's more of a nightmare. I even had to send my beloved Jacob away. Maybe I should have stopped him, but I love him so much it's hard to tell him no. This time I guess he went too far. Isaac's eyes and body are failing him, and he wanted to bless his beloved Esau. Jacob's devious ways lured me into planning with him, and we tricked Isaac. No surprise, really, that Esau was livid. And Esau never did have any sense of boundaries, straight to death threats, and I believed him. I really thought he would kill Jacob. So, Isaac's dying. Jacob's gone. Esau hates me. God, where are you? As Rebecca, with her young girl's dreams that seem to come true, slowly fade into a nightmare, heartbreak, bitterness, despair, and now desperation to work out where God is in all of this. This is the answer I imagine God might give her. I was there. I was there when the servant travelled to find you. I guided him to your well and inspired you to take care of him and his entourage. I was there when your family rejoiced, let you go and entrusted you into my care. I was there and delighted when Isaac saw you, was struck by your beauty and loved you. I was there when your heart ached for pregnancy that didn't come as quickly or as easily as for many of your friends. I heard your prayers. I saw your tears. I was there. I was with you through the confusion and physical pain of your pregnancy. I ached with you and for you. I was there. You may not have seen or perceived me, but I was there when the boys fought. There when you helped Jacob deceive your husband, and there when you had to send Jacob off. I was there, but you had stopped looking for me. Your back was turned. I'm still there. My presence is not just in the hopes and dreams, but also in the shadows, the tears, the groans, the disappointments, even the nightmares. I am still there. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes. Sometimes you just need to turn around. You just might glimpse me. I'm still here. You may have to let go of control. You may need to trust me. I am still here. I will always be. I wonder if Rebecca's story connects with your story. I don't imagine that you had a rich servant arrive with camels at any point. If you did, please let us know, because that's a story worth hearing. But maybe, just maybe, you've been aware of God connecting with your life, drawing you in one direction or another. Perhaps, like some of us, you've heard God's calling and responded. And as you've followed that path, perhaps an expectation, like Rebecca, that everything was going to be amazing. God's called me, God's chosen me, and here I go. And that maybe, like Rebecca, you found that God's calling hasn't been all that you expected. Perhaps it's been a rockier road, a harder climb, a more difficult journey than you could imagine. Maybe, like Rebecca, the difficulties have made it harder to see where God is. Perhaps the difficulties have made it harder to get along with those around you. I know it's easy to think God's calling will take you to where it's all feathery and light and beautiful and simple. Right now, whatever your calling is, with all the confusion of going into lockdown, coming out of lockdown, all the rules seeming to change every day, if not every minute, nothing feels easy, I imagine. Following God's call isn't simple. It takes great faith, especially in the times where God's calling draws us through shadows and hardship. I hope that Rebecca's story, in the way I've imagined her reflections on her own life, help you to see that following God's call can be hard. Sometimes following God's call is difficult. It doesn't mean we've got it wrong. Jesus followed his calling. It brought him from heaven to earth. He continued to follow his calling through friendships, through family life, through the ups and downs of denial, betrayal, and finally the cross. Through all of that, Jesus never stopped speaking to God. His prayer life was sometimes full of pain and sorrow, but sometimes full of vision and excitement and joy. But regardless of which situation he was in, when it was going well or when it was awful, he still spoke to God. Rebecca lost track of where God was in her calling, in her life. Where are we? Are we with Rebecca and unsure of where we are with God, if God is even with us? Or are we with Christ in the ups and downs, able to call on the Lord regardless of how things are going? There's no judgment here. Be honest. Sometimes it's harder than others to pray. Sometimes it's hard to discern where we are with God. I wonder, can you take a moment? Ask God again what he's calling you to do for his kingdom. And try to trust him that even when it's hard, you'll see him in the details of your life, in the corner of your eye, if you keep looking in the scriptures, and if you keep praying, he'll hold you to your calling when it's easy and when it's hard. Let's pray. God of the past, accept the people we have been and the baggage we drag behind us. God who was and is to come, be with us. God of the present, accept the people that we are now and the potential that lies within us. God who was and is to come, be with us. God of the future, accept the people we can become and by your Spirit transform us. God who was and is to come, be with us. May God, who was, heal us from the hurts of our past. May God, who is, dwell in us and renew our faith. May God, who is to come, give us hope in the promises of faith. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love now and always. Amen.